mercy, and peace from God our Father, through the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
It was a simple question, and he was asking the right man. Yet his intentions were to test Jesus and trap him in his words so that Jesus might be done away with. The lawyer asked, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" The lawyer, unaware that he had tripped his own snare, answered correctly, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus, the one who had written the law for Moses and for the people of God, answered, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." The lawyer, desiring to justify himself, asks, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus tells him about the Good Samaritan. It is common to think that the point of this narrative is to say that you ought to be the Good Samaritan instead of the priest or the Levite. This isn't necessarily wrong, but there is so much more to it. These two men, seeing the man lying on the side of the road, assumed that he was either dead, almost dead, or might as well have been dead. Purity laws stated that they would have been unclean and thus unfit to serve in the temple if they were to come into contact with a corpse. In their attempts to fulfill the law, they missed the mark. While this definitely describes you, the subject of this narrative is neither of those who pass by. The subject is and always will be Jesus. And Jesus speaks of himself in today's gospel lesson. Of all the people who would stop and help this man, the last person that he had expected was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were an offshoot of the Jews. The Samaritans did not recognize the Jews as the Lord's chosen people, and they only held that the books of Moses were the word of the Lord. This greatly offended the Jews, who held themselves to be the Lord's chosen because they were keeping the law perfectly, or so they thought. The Jews disliked the Samaritans, and the Samaritans disliked the Jews. That much they had in common. The man who had been left for dead on the side of the road was a Jew. He was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, a route famous for peril and difficulty. The man's journey was not easy. It was an 18-mile trek through the barren hillside. It was a very narrow path, arid and dusty. At certain points along the road, it was so narrow that if the man had been left for dead there, the priest and Levite would have had to step over him instead of cross by on the other side. The road was also well known for the trade industry, as Jericho and Jerusalem were major cities. This trail also made people especially susceptible to robbers, as this poor, miserable child of God discovered. And yet it was a Samaritan who stopped and helped this Jew. The Samaritan was despised and rejected by the Jews, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Samaritan is Jesus himself. Earlier this morning, you confessed that you needed mercy from God and asked him to grant you remission of all of your sins. You know well that you are not the Samaritan in today's gospel lesson. Although you can act like the priest and the Levite, full of self-righteousness and pride, there is a man in the narrative with whom you can faithfully identify. You, dearly beloved in the Lord, are the man who was mugged, stranded, and left for dead on the side of the road. Perhaps you thought you could make it by yourself, you could defend yourself by your ability to outwit the devil, the world, and your sinful nature. Maybe you saw no danger lurking in the distance and thought that you had plenty of time to make it by yourself, and thus you made yourself an easy target. Yet the devil, the world, and your sinful nature had other plans for you and were all too happy to cause you grief, nearly taking your life. Yet, out of his love for you, at the right time, Jesus delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into his care and keeping. You thought you could make it, yet you learned that by your own reason or strength, you are as good as dead. Child of God, be of good cheer. Jesus is the Samaritan. When this Samaritan saw your helpless infirmity, he had compassion on you. The word compassion doesn't simply mean that he saw your condition and felt bad for you. He didn't just shed a tear on your behalf. He had compassion. His gut wrenched and he desired your salvation to the end that by his grace, he emptied himself of life for you. This same gut that wrenched with compassion was that which fasted in the wilderness for 40 days as Jesus strove with Satan, not falling prey to the master of lies, the great murderer. Jesus doesn't only show you pity. He gives himself to you so that you may not suffer eternally. The path is difficult and the road is long. Bandits and robbers lie in ambush to take all blessings from you, goods, fame, child, and wife. Yet you are reminded that though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. It's not a dog-eat-dog world. It's a dog-eat-lamb world, and you're not a dog. The pains of this world are far too great for you to bear, and you would have died, but the Good Samaritan, Jesus, had compassion for you and has paid the debt for all of your iniquities. Now, Jesus wasn't a Samaritan, yet the Jews did not like him. He was one of them, yet they despised and scorned him. Those who thought they were sinless, the priest and the Levite, Jesus called into repentance. Jesus was put to death by those who thought they could fulfill the law and keep it perfectly. Yet he alone is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. In him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He is the spotless Lamb, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, saw you lying on the road, dead to your trespasses and sin, and by his innocent life, bitter suffering and death, and glorious resurrection and ascension, carried you to his home at the right hand of the Father. He has bound your wounds with the robe of his righteousness, anointing you with the waters of holy baptism. He brought you into the presence of the Father and has given to you the medicine of immortality, his very body which is given into death, and his precious blood shed for the remission of all of your sins. He has given the down payment for your healing and restoration, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. This is no small gift. Although you cannot see the Holy Spirit, nor can you always feel him, he works in ways that are visible and tangible. He works miracles even today, but you don't call them miracles. You call them baptism and Holy Communion. Through these visible and tangible elements, he restores you and preserves you in his care and keeping, healing you from the mortal illness of sin and death. Jesus' compassion led him to allow evil men to open his flesh by whip, thorn, and nail. His body churned in compassion as he breathed his last and gave himself as a payment for your sins. He covers you with his righteousness in the waters of holy baptism and feeds you with the bread of life and the wine of healing, his own body and blood. When he returns to judge both the living and the dead, he whose kingdom shall have no end stands in your place, and his blood pleads for your release, and it is so granted. This is something you cannot do, yet by it you inherit eternal life. The lawyer had betrayed himself in his question. To inherit something is to receive it as a child, to do nothing for yourself, to be unable and incapable of defending yourself. To inherit something requires death, yet God would not have the sinner die. It is in the death of Christ, wherein you inherit the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In his resurrection, you were raised from the dead with him, and he now lives in you, working through you so that your neighbors may know the consolation of Christ's love and compassion. Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The lawyer replied, "The one who showed him mercy." To which Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." Who is the lawyer's neighbor? Well, it's the one who showed him mercy, the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the neighbor, not the man lying on the side of the road. You do not show mercy to those whom you know and love, but Christ does. He does this good work in and through you by the Holy Spirit. He is the new Adam given to you in baptism. St. Paul urges his readers towards this in the epistle lesson for today. Paul writes, "Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." Such is the life of those who are in Christ, or better yet, those in whom Christ lives, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies you and will at the last day raise up you and all the dead and give unto you and all believers eternal life. Until that day, you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Good Samaritan of Jewish descent, saying to you, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not the bandit nor the robber, the priest nor the Levite. They cannot steal you from the care of the Good Samaritan, the great physician of body and soul. He has healed your injuries, cleansed you from your iniquity, and has taken your sins upon himself, dying in your stead, so that you may inherit his life. Thus you can sing with confidence the words of the distribution hymn. Oh, how great is your compassion, faithful Father, God of grace, that with all our fallen race, in our depth of degradation, you had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. And there's nothing you can do to inherit that. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.